Welcome to Brand New Information, a pop culture and political podcast. I'm Suzanne of My Kind of Sweet and The Sober Mom Life.
I'm Jay of First Ascent Podcast. Each week I'll teach my sister about politics.
And I'll teach my brother about pop culture. And, you know, we probably won't break the news.
But you can count on us to put it back together for you.
That's beautiful.
Hey, I just realized that this is a news program.
Kind of. It's like an old news program, even though it's called Brand New Information.
It's an old news program.
Yeah. Well, that is quite fitting because I was in forensics in, I think it was junior high, not even high school. And I did report the news at forensics.
Tell the listeners what forensics is, because I don't think everybody has a forensics class in school.
It wasn't a forensics class. It was a forensics team, and you would kind of like compete. It was like a sport, but for speaking and performing and talking.
What a nerd. Nerd alert.
Nerd alert. My friend and I put on news programs, so like reporting the Baraboo Junior High news.
There was a lot of news at Baraboo Junior High.
There really was.
Jay fell down the ramp today.
Jay fell down the ramp, and we had a serial killer in our class. Other than that, slow news day. If you guys missed that episode, go back and listen to it.
This is where we do our plea, and we're pleading for you to follow us, to share the episodes with your friends. If you want us to keep doing this, you better follow us, because otherwise we're not.
Yeah, that sounds more like a threat than a plea.
It's a fine line.
Okay.
Please follow us or else.
Okay. It sounds threatening and desperate. So if you guys are liking the show, if you are finding enjoyment, if you're learning something, if you're learning absolutely nothing, it doesn't matter. Share the show, share it on your social media, share it with five friends. Look around you. Who's sitting next to you right now? Share the show with them. Yeah, and then go follow us on Instagram, Brand New Information Pod. I've talked to Jay about stopping his self-promotion and starting to promote the podcast instead.
If you have a choice between promoting the podcast and finding me and following me, I would prefer the latter, but like do the former too.
Yeah, don't follow Jay. Just follow Brand New Information Pod. We post funny things. I posted a video of Martha Stewart topless yesterday, so that was fun.
She looks good.
She looks so good. Years? She's 81 years old, and she looks amazing. I mean, she's wearing an apron, so it's not NSFW, but she looks great.
NSFW. Oh, got it. I got it. Okay. I just got that.
Just for mom, that is not suitable for work. Okay. Who wants to go first? Fibronostalgia. If you're new here.
No, wait what? Wait what's first?
Oh, we're doing wait what first?
I thought we did wait what first. What?
What?
Wait what?
Okay, this is a new segment. Wait what? This is wait, something what? That caught our attention on the interwebs that stopped us in our tracks and made us say wait.
What?
Okay. Okay, Jay, you go first. Wait what?
What? Wait. Wait, what?
Wait.
I was reading The Guardian this morning, as I do practically every morning.
Dork.
And the article from Tuesday, coffins left hanging in air after second Naples cemetery collapsed this year.
Okay, I saw this. I saw this morning, and I was like, I was definitely like, wait, what?
Wait, what? At least a dozen coffins have been left dangling in the air after the collapse of a four-story building containing burial niches at the oldest cemetery in Naples. It is the second such incident at the site this year.
That's insane that it just keeps happening. What's wrong with Florida, first of all? But also, what's a burial niche?
No, not Naples, Florida.
Oh.
Naples, Italy.
Oh! Okay, wait. I totally thought when I read that, I was like, because you and I talked earlier this week on the phone about
what's wrong with Florida,
how bleached up Florida is. And then I saw that headline and I was like, see, another thing. Like, Florida is so messed up. Coffins are just hanging.
Authorities sealed off the cemetery, the biggest in Naples, as an investigation into the collapse of the marble building called the Resurrection got underway.
Oh, okay. That's
kind
creepy.
Of ironic. It's a bit ironic.
It is a bit
that
ironic.
The building called the Resurrection has coffins falling out of it to the ground,
dangling.
Yeah. And it's the second such incident.
Okay. I do think that this could happen in Florida. Because, wait, what, Florida? But yeah, this is creepy. That was a good wait, what?
What would you do if you were just driving by and you saw this, like, I guess it's like a mausoleum or something? Is that where you bury people, like, above ground in a building?
Yeah.
And you just saw the coffins hanging and you'd be like, oh, that happened again.
I would hop on my Instagram and go live with the coffins.
I'm live here at Naples,
the hanging
Italy.
Naples, Florida. No, wait. Naples, Italy. Yeah. I would freak out, but the fact that it's happened twice, I think, is pretty spectacular.
Spectacular is not the right word.
Spectacular?
Yeah, it's not a spectacle.
Yes, it is. How is that not a spectacle? If that's not a spectacle, what is?
Have some respect for the dead, for the fallen, for the about to fall.
Okay. Are you ready for my wait, what? I want to tell you what a mother-daughter, this makes me feel like mom and I need to be doing more. Because this mother and daughter team in California, the co-owners of One House Bakery. Do you know what they did, Jay? Have you seen this on the interwebs?
No, I haven't, and I can't wait to hear.
Well, you can't wait what? Because they spent weeks molding, baking, and assembling a life-sized sculpture out of bread of Han Solo. They made a 6-foot-tall Han Solo out of bread, and they're calling it Pan Solo. Bread. Or Pan Solo.
Pan Solo?
Yeah. Well, P-A-N Solo. So, I don't know. But yes, it took them weeks. So, they made a 6-foot-tall bread sculpture of Han Solo as he's coming out. It's such a weird thing. It's his Star Wars character as he appeared after being frozen in carbonite.
Yeah, that's what I was going to think.
You're such a dork. You knew what it would be.
Yeah, no, that's when he was frozen in carbonite. He's got his hands up and he's like.
Yeah, like, in The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
I will link this in the show notes so everyone can see it.
If I were making a bread Han Solo, that's really the only choice is when he was frozen in carbonite. Of course you would do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the obvious choice.
I would be shocked if they made Han Solo when he was like flying the Millennium Falcon or when he was stuck in the trash compactor.
Is The Empire Strikes Back, is that the first one that came out?
Well, okay. So I was talking about this on my other podcast, which is the First Ascent podcast.
We're going down a hole. This went left and I am not excited.
I firmly believe that the only true Star Wars are the ones that were in the 70s and 80s. And it's so annoying that you can't even talk about like the first three, because the first three are not the first three. They're 4, 5, and 6 in the chronology of Star Wars.
Okay, but the first three that came out?
The first three that came out. It's A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Those are the only true Star Wars.
Is Empire Strikes Back the best one?
I think it's the best one.
That's the one with Jar Jar Binks, right?
Yeah. People are no. Well, Jar Jar Binks was like the fourth one to come out, and that's what I was excited about it. And then I saw that, and I was like, "This is
it." Got like really campy or something.
it got really like computerized. It looked like a computer game, and they lost me. They lost me on those next two or three. And I, since then, I am a firm believer that the original three or four, five, and six. See, you can't even talk about it.
So it's like the George Lucas and the J.J. Abrams ones. Did you watch those?
I got burned by Jar Jar Binks, and I've never forgotten it.
Really? That's with Natalie Portman too, right?
Yeah, and Kate and June like The Mandalorian, that series.
Yeah, my kids like that, yeah.
I won't watch it. I'm still upset about Jar Jar Binks. And it's not the same as the first three that came out.
Right. Okay. Well, I think I only remember, like, I remember the Star Wars bar. Was that in
A New Hope?
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
And the, like, river or the swamp that someone was, like, that.
That was that, Return of the Jedi.
Okay. Wow, you're really on the, you got those three dialed, though, don't you?
Remember I had the Star Wars figurines and I had Star Wars parties with my friends?
Of course I remember
where
that.
Everybody brought their Star Wars toys over and we all played with them.
I mean, you had Star Wars sheets. You were big into Star Wars.
Yeah, and then they lost me. I was the number one Star Wars fan. And then
you were?
I was the number one Star Wars fan. So and then they sad. Lost me. They lost me with their cheap knockoffs and, you know, bad follow-ups.
Yeah, I think they're crying all the way to the bank. Okay. Fibronostalgia. If you're new here, fibronostalgia is another segment we do. We're very segmented here. We talk about something we missed from the 90s. And we are afflicted by fibronostalgia daily. It affects our daily lives. Jay, you want to go first?
It's more of a support group, fibronostalgia.
It is.
I do want to go first.
You say, my name is Jay.
Hi, I'm Jay. I'm a Gen Xer. Then you're supposed to say, hi, Jay.
Oh, hi, Jay. Hi, Wayne.
Wayne's World was last week. This week is stuffed crust pizza.
Oh, it rocked the nation. There was a wave of stuffed crust pizza mania that went through our little town. I remember it.
It was pizza with string cheese baked into it.
In the crust. Isn't it still around?
It came out in 1995. And in fact, it came out in a really controversial way.
Ooh.
Pizza Hut was the first to introduce it in 1995. I'm linking this article in the show notes. Brooklyn native Anthony Mangiello
sounds about right.
Said that he actually invented it in 1987 and he had a patent on it. So his family sued Pizza Hut for $1 billion.
You can't say that with a straight face. Come on, Anthony Mangiello. Pizza Hut, you're going down for $1 billion.
The family lost in 1999. I mean, they lost their suit for $1 billion.
That's hilarious.
But a sort of addendum to the stuffed crust thing, fibronostalgia.
Oh,
is,
you keep doing these two parters. Okay, what is it?
Yeah, Book It.
Okay, I just looked up Book It right then because when you said stuffed crust, I went to
you
Pizza Hut.
Book It.
I went to Book It.
And you went to Book
okay,
It.
Okay, but Book It was 1984.
Well, that's when it was introduced, but we were doing Book It in the 90s, and we would get a pizza at Pizza Hut if we got 5 stars on our Book It
pin
button.
It was a
pin.
Yes, with stars. Oh.
Our Book It pin. If we got 5 stars on the Book It pin, then we got a free Pizza Hut pizza, and like we went, it was a big thing. Hey, you know, Book It.
Yeah.
And then you could order stuffed crust then.
I love Book It. I think that that's why I'm an avid reader today. It's all because of Book It. We know it's not because of Charlotte's Web. It's because of Book It.
You know, the 5-star thing started then. And every time we get 5 stars on the ratings, I feel like I just want to book it.
Oh, it's like warm and fuzzy. And then you're like, give me my pizza.
Yeah, warm and fuzzy stuffed crust.
Yeah. Stuffed crust is so gross too, by the way.
Is it though?
Yeah, it's like, how can we get fatter?
It's like, well, we're not quite there. More cheese into this cheese delivery vehicle.
Yeah. Like, how could this be even worse for us? It's just not good. I feel like the whole idea was that the cheese would be all melty and nice in the crust, but it wasn't. It really just did taste like a string cheese placed in the crust. Like, you could tell where the cheese started and where the crust ended, and I didn't like that.
It was like a cavern. It was like this cheese cavern where then the cheese was like half melted and it left behind like an open space.
Yeah, the design was not good. Okay, you know what mine is?
I don't.
My Fibronostel, what if you just had to guess? Like, guess what mine is. this would be riveting.
DoorDash.
Nope. Singled Out. Do you remember the Singled Out game show on MTV? The dating show? Is this when you were busy Googling the word and that you missed the MTV dating show?
I have zero recollection.
Stop. Are you kidding me? You were such a dork.
I am not kidding. I am.
You really were. It's funny because, like, I kind of had a feeling you were a dork. But then, like, during over the course of this podcast and stuff that comes up, and like when you were like, yeah, do you remember the internet? And then you would just Google the word and. My friends and I would get together and Google the word and see how many results
came up.
To be
fair, Google wasn't in existence then. It was just searching
Excite
on, or Alta Vista or what were some of the others?
Ask Jeevers.
Netscape?
Netscape was a browser, right?
It was a search engine, wasn't it?
Either way, you were searching the word and. Okay, it was a dating game show on MTV from 1995 to 1998. It was Jenny McCarthy. That's how Jenny McCarthy was introduced to the
Seriously?
World. Yeah, and Chris Hardwick. Do you know Chris Hardwick?
No.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Okay, well, he was a comedian and actor. So it was Jenny McCarthy, and then she left in 97, and then Carmen Electra took her place, and that's where Carmen Electra was introduced to us. So I remember watching this. I mean, I was in high school. I loved it. There was one contestant, one person that like 50 guys were going to try and date. And so they had 50 guys, and then they also had a guy contestant and 50 girls were trying to date. But I was like, what was the
premise?
Is
this like a prelude to The Bachelor?
Kind of, but in just 20 minutes. And I looked it up this morning to watch an old episode. And oh my God, is it so stupid. Jenny McCarthy tried her hardest to just be irreverent. And she'd be like, and like licking people's faces. And just like she tried to be just crazy outrageous. And it worked because that's how she made a name for herself, but it was so crazy. They like have to pick these categories, and then the girl does not get to see the 50 guys, but she like they single them down by saying, okay, like the size of the penis, but then it's all like double innuendo talk, and it's just insane.
It doesn't seem appropriate for kids to watch.
Well, I mean, I was probably 15. But it made me feel so old. Like when I watched it this morning, I was like, oh my God, why is she yelling? And like, what are they talking? How are they talking about this? Like, it was crazy. But at the time, it just.
You're like kids these days.
I know. It would not
kids
fly
those
today.
Days.
They actually did bring it back, but I did not watch the new version. But the new version, I think, is on Netflix or something.
I saw a thing about Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
Make a deal.
On Deal or No Deal. She was a suitcase holder.
Where was that in the timeline? Was that before or after she became a princess?
A duchess? Way before. Way before. It was before Suits.
Before Suits. And she was concerned that she wasn't able to use her intellect when she was holding the
briefcase.
Suitcase.
Yeah, I guess it's a briefcase, not a suitcase. That's funny. If it was a suitcase.
We've packed for you.
Like, what if you're ready like to travel? On, the rolling suitcase. No, it was a briefcase. Yeah, she said on her podcast that I've been listening to, Archetypes, that they leaned into the bimbo rule, which, I mean, duh. What do you think that's going
to
be?
All you have to do is hold a briefcase.
Well, you have to open it when they pick your number.
Oh.
So there is another step. This isn't just
some
a
of those
hat
are tough
holder.
To open.
Yeah, they're tough to open.
Slippies, Swami. Samsonite. I was way
what
off.
What if the briefcases were locked and then they had to, they're like, oh, okay, you picked mine. And they're like, hold on. They're like going through the lock. Okay. You guys, we actually do talk about stuff. I say this every time because the preamble is starting to be longer and longer because it's actually like just a part of it. This isn't a preamble anymore. It's
what are you
an amble.
About?
I'm talking about the segments.
Oh, right. The segments are as much a part of the thing as the thing itself.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me know that.
These are just further segments.
Right. Okay. Next segment, the news.
The news. I'll talk politics because we keep discussing the Senate races, and we've gone through Georgia, we've gone through Wisconsin, and now I want to talk about Pennsylvania. And we have spoken about Pennsylvania in the past, but there have been kind of some new developments.
Okay.
So John Fetterman is running against Dr. Oz.
Yep.
I always want to say Roger Fetterman.
Isn't that the NFL guy?
That's the baseball. No. Oh. We were both wrong. Tennis player.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Okay.
But I think it's spelled differently.
Yeah, the Fetterman is, that's Federer. Roger Federer.
Oh, Roger Federer. Roger Fetterman.
Roger. He's like an accountant in Jersey or something. Roger Fetterman.
Well, John Fetterman, who is running for the Senate seat in Pennsylvania as a Democrat. Did you know, Suzanne, that he had a stroke in May?
Yeah, I did know that. That is crazy. And then, so he was already running at that point. So his campaign just like stopped for a little bit and then they resumed.
Yeah, it was prior to the days before the primary. And he ended up winning the primary while he was effectively on, you know, injured reserve.
Wow.
Recuperating from a stroke.
Yeah, that's intense.
Okay, so it has affected him. We'll link a Washington Post article in the show notes. And what it says is Fetterman 53 explained that sometimes he stumbles over his words and has auditory processing issues.
Hmm.
And the debate, the question is this fair game in a political race? Are the health issues of the candidates something that we should be talking about in terms of fitness to serve?
Yes.
Got
but
it.
But I would
okay,
take...
moving on.
The answer is yes. I would take post-stroke Fetterman versus like a 100% healthy Dr. Oz.
Yeah, Dr. Oz is he's not doing so great. He's the Republican, 538. The polling average has him losing to Fetterman by 3%. The probability that Fetterman wins is 69%, according to 538.
So even after his kind of poor debate performance?
The debate has not yet occurred. But what they're talking about is the way that he communicates in his speeches, in his rallies. There are some effects from the stroke that we're seeing in his campaigning. And is that
okay? So wait,
is that
the debate,
reason not to?
The debate is October 25th at 8 p.m. We should watch that.
Well, there's been kind of a unwritten understanding that a lot of the health stuff is sort of off limits.
That doesn't make sense. Why, as sort of like a privacy situation, or why would it be off limits?
Kind of a privacy situation.
Did his campaign announce that he had a stroke?
Yes.
Okay, so it wasn't leaked or anything. It's not like speculation. It's been confirmed and announced.
Right. But think of all the stuff with Donald Trump and how cagey he was about his health. He never released his health records. He clearly has shown some issues with his cognition. Look at Biden.
That's putting
with
it
his,
kindly. It, his issues with cognition. Okay.
Look at Biden with the same issues related to his age. We give incredible latitude to our candidates and our representatives to have cognitive and health issues. We do.
Yeah, I don't think we should. I think we need to know. That's part of the whole issue. Not only with cognition and everything like that, but heart health. I mean, these are old white men in most instances. You know how I feel about old white men. But also, like, yeah, we got to know what you got going on underneath the hood. That sounded gross. That's not how I meant it. I mean, let's just know how healthy you are. Maybe that's not going to deter anyone from voting for them, but like, it's a factor.
Yeah, it's a factor. And the Oz campaign is really leaning into the fact that Oz himself is a surgeon and...
Yeah. And he's probably pretty healthy. How old is Dr. Oz?
62.
I mean, he looks great. I mean, he's bat bleep crazy, but he looks great. Which really, isn't that all that matters?
He's really, you know, attacking. Maybe attacking is the wrong word, but he's definitely raising the issue of Fetterman's fitness to serve.
Yeah, I mean, that...
I mean, in some ways, he's flailing around because his campaign was pretty much doomed after the charcuterie tray incident.
Yes.
Which... To our listeners who haven't heard it, he did a, I think the best way to describe it is ham-handed,
yes.
Which is like the best adjective ever.
That is.
Ham-handed. Just
especially
picture
when you're talking about a charcuterie.
Yeah, but,
a charcuterie. That's a different kind of tray.
Yeah. That's all you can afford in this economy.
Okay, did you know that Fetterman is 6'8"?
Yeah, I did. I did know
that's
that he was 6'8".
That's also an issue.
Eight. He wears shorts all the time on the campaign trail.
Because he can't find pants long enough. That's also an issue. I mean, tall people.
That he's too tall?
I mean, tall people, they generally have heart problems. You know?
He has, I believe he has had some heart problems in the past as well.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, this article says John Fetterman adopts a new way of eating and drops 148 pounds.
Yeah. Fetterman's doctor, Ramesh Chandra, said, "The prognosis I can give for John's heart is this. If he takes his medications, eats healthy, and exercises, he'll be fine. If he does what I've told him, and I do believe that he is taking his recovery and his health very seriously this time, he should be able to campaign and serve in the U.S. Senate without a problem." That's kind of damning with faint praise, isn't it? If he takes my advice this time, if he does what I told him, he should be fine. That's not a ringing endorsement from your doctor. And like, actually, hold on. This whole conversation is making me uncomfortable because it feels too personal. I should be voting for my candidates based on which ones reflect my ideals, not which ones
I don't know.
Are listening to their doctors or not, right?
I don't know. I think we get personal now, and we need to get personal with our candidates now. Like, we know that Herschel Walker paid for abortions. Like, that's very personal, but that's good information to have. And so, like, we need to get personal. Also, I don't think John Fetterman, if he goes to the Senate, it's not like he's going to be the most unhealthy guy in the Senate. It's not like the Senate. It's not like senators put their health first. Are we thinking that they're like pinnacles of health? Because they're not.
Do you think that presidential candidates should take a cognitive test in order to be allowed to run?
Yeah.
Didn't Trump take the test where it was like man, woman, car?
Yeah, man, car.
And he was
yeah,
like,
and he's just pointing
he's like,
at things.
Passed with flying colors. And it's like, no, it's more of a binary thing. Like, you don't have brain damage.
Like, yeah.
You either do or you don't, and you don't. Congratulations. But it's not like you got an A+ on it.
Yeah. I think anyone running for public office gives up a lot of their private life. That's like known that they have to give up their private life. And I think the HIPAA stuff and all of their private health information goes along with that. Like, you don't get to keep that private anymore because that actually matters to the people who vote for you. Like, are you going to be healthy? Are you going to be able to do the best job you can? Are you going to be here for a while?
Yeah. Well, okay, the obvious question then is, if a woman has an abortion, does she have to disclose that if she's running for office?
No, because that doesn't affect how she's going to govern.
I think there are pro-life people who would say that it would.
As far as mental health?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not taking this position. I'm just saying that there's a
You're
point at which
you're asking questions.
I'm just asking questions. No, there's a point at which we need to keep things private. You know, we have HIPAA for a reason.
I think that a woman's decision to have an abortion and a man's heart failure are two different things.
Okay, well, where do you draw the line between the two? What is relevant for, you know, being able to serve versus what is private? Where's the line? I mean, if the line is between heart issues and a woman making personal reproductive choices, then where is it? I mean, that's the thing that's hard about this.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a woman having an abortion would get in the way of her being able to do her job.
I agree with you, but I, you know, it's information that the voters could use.
I disagree. I don't think
I'm not taking this. I don't believe in this position. I'm just,
well, it sounds like you do. And now I think you do.
I don't. I think a lot of health stuff should be private. I think the only fitness to serve should be cognitive.
Like, I want to know if you've been hooked on prescription pain pills. I want to know if you've gone to rehab. I want to know if you've had a heart attack. I want to know if you're at a greater risk for heart attack. I want to know if you've had a stroke. I want to know what your doctor says about your 5-year health plan. I want to know if you run every day. I want to know if you still smoke. I want to know all that stuff.
Obama smoked.
I know. And he hid it. You know what? I wonder if mom would have liked Obama as much if she would have known during his term that he was smoking. I don't know.
That's a cognitive dissonance that would really be challenging for mom.
It would. Yeah, I want to know all those things. But I want to know all those things about everybody. Jay, what's your 5-year health plan? I want to know that about you.
I'm just trying to get through this segment. Holy cow. I believe that most health stuff should be private. However, cognitive tests should be required.
Okay. I think I want to know
it's
it all.
It's up to the other campaign to air it out by way of the campaign. I don't think you should have to disclose anything. I think that's what campaigns are for, is that the campaign, if it finds it, it finds it. And if it uses it, it uses it. But I don't think there should be a national law that for any office you disclose any sort of health issue you've ever had. I think that's, I'm not into that. I think a simple cognitive test wouldn't be the worst thing, especially for our higher office, especially as our candidates and, you know, elected people are getting older and older and older.
And so what does that mean if they fail the test that they can't run, or if they fail the test that the results are made public and then we still get to choose? Like, are they disqualified?
I mean, I think those are the same thing. If you failed the cognitive test.
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so. I think that if Trump had taken a cognitive test and he would have failed, I think that his MAGA people would have been like, well, obviously that test is stupid, and they would have discounted the test.
One of the norms that Trump broke was that most presidential candidates do release their health records, but he never did. And, or you know, it wasn't a rule.
Or his taxes,
for that matter.
Yeah.
It wasn't a rule or anything. It was, you know, just a norm. It was just something people did. And he just didn't. Do you remember, I'm just working from memory here, but do you remember he had a doctor who said that he was like the most healthy human on earth?
And so, that he would easily live like another 70 years or something crazy?
He could live to be 200 if he wanted to.
Wasn't that, shouldn't we have known at that point that they were just going to play fast and loose with the facts?
So as if the Pennsylvania race wasn't sort of unique, there's this sort of wrinkle in the whole thing, which is Fetterman's health. And
the back of his head. It's very wrinkly. You know that because he's bald and he's got those like layers of wrinkles in the back of his head and his neck. No? Yeah, I think Dr. Oz and his campaign is smart to focus on that because that's probably all they've got.
That's all they got.
That's the only move they've got.
Would you vote for an unhealthy candidate that reflects all of your ideals?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. So maybe it doesn't matter.
It might not matter as far as voting goes, but transparency feels good in someone I'm supposed to trust. I think that's what it comes down to.
And it's really about the independents who are in the middle and could swing either way. And sort of any sort of doubt that you can put in their minds on the day that they vote. As we always tell mom, you know, you can't vote harder.
She can. She keeps trying.
She's gonna vote as hard as she can. But it's still just one vote. But those independents who are just really on the fence and they could go either way. I mean, if they're thinking about health right when they're casting their ballot, that might have a big difference. If they're thinking about the price of charcuterie trays.
And being ham-handed. Ham-handed. Well, that'll be interesting. Let's touch base about the debate. It happens Tuesday. So we'll see how he does.
The debate is on the 25th. And everybody will be watching how Fetterman does.
Yes.
Oz has pretty high expectations because he's a TV guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's very performative. Like, I'm sure he'll be fine. Grandma loved Dr. Oz. Add him to her list. And Grandma was staunchly Democrat, but I don't think we knew his political leanings at that point.
Yeah, no, that was before he jumped in.
Yeah. Okay, well, you talked about John Fetterman and Dr. Oz. I am going to talk about Selena Gomez and Hailey Bieber. Do you know who those people are?
I know who the first one is. She's in the dramedy Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah.
Which I watched a couple episodes of at the request of mom, and I was just kind of not into it.
Oh my God, you have to. I watched the first season and the second season. It's so funny. Martin Short, he's so funny. And Selena Gomez is a good straight man woman in that role. Like, what, she plays the straight.
Where can we find that, Suzanne? Where could our listeners find that program?
I think it's on Hulu.
What's Hulu?
What is wrong with you? Go search and. Okay, so do you know the drama?
How many hits do you get when you search and?
Now? Do you know the drama? Do you know any of the backstory between Selena and Hailey?
Why don't you just tell us while I go search and?
Okay, so I'm sure most of our listeners know this. Selena Gomez dated Justin Bieber for on and off for about like 7 years. They first started dating. Are you searching and? How many hits did you get?
25,270 billion hits.
Oh my God. Wait, how many do you guys remember? Do you remember how much you got in like 1997 or 98?
It wasn't that many, that's for sure. There are
it was
a lot
like
more
48.
There are a lot more ands on the internet than there were in the 90s.
Okay, brand new information. You guys, this is why you listen. This is hard hitting stuff. There are more ands on the internet.
I think that there might be the most ands there has ever been, on the internet.
I think so. You heard it here first. Okay. I need you to listen to my segment.
I am. I'm totally listening.
Okay. Selena Gomez first dated Justin Bieber on and off for 7 years. Okay. They were like the little star couple. They were so cute. They started dating in 2011. They were just very little and cute. They had all of this drama. They would break up. They would get back together. Well, Hailey Baldwin, that's her maiden name. She's a Baldwin. Do you know who her dad is?
Selena Gomez is Hailey Baldwin?
Oh my God. What? No.
No, never mind.
Selena Gomez dated Justin Bieber. Now we're going to talk about Hailey Baldwin, who is now married to Justin Bieber. Her name is Hailey Bieber. Her maiden name is Baldwin. Do you know her? Who her dad was? Is
Alec Baldwin.
No, Stephen.
Stephen Baldwin.
Stephen Baldwin is her dad. So she started dating Justin Bieber she first came on, like he posted her in 2014 as his good friend on Instagram. So while he was like on and off with Selena, this has been a long, long drama because now Justin and Hailey have been married they got married very quickly, like 6 months after Justin and Selena broke up. Hailey and Justin got married, okay? So they got married in 2018. Okay, so they were like 21. They were just very young, but they're still married, still happy. There has been always drama online. It's like these two have been against each other because it's kind of like Angelina and Jen fighting over Brad. It's similar. Do you know that reference?
I'm with you.
Okay, so Brad and Jen were married, and then Angelina, then they shot Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Brad leaves Jen for Angelina, right? So this is kind of that in a different generation. Okay, so online trolls, they're not trolls, they're fans of Selena's, would always attack Hailey for years. I mean, really like vicious stuff. Same with Hailey's fans. They would attack Selena. Like there's just been this war between these two camps forever. And the girls themselves have always said, like, we're fine. Selena would go on. They never talk about each other by name, but Selena would go online and be like, can we please be kind? I'm not about women attacking women. Like, they always kind of preach this kindness thing. Hailey, too, would go on. She went on TikTok a few months ago, maybe last year, and said, like, it's enough. It's not a story anymore. So these fans have just been like rabidly attacking the other camp. Okay. Well, Hailey went on the Call Her Daddy podcast. Have you ever listened to that?
Negative.
Okay. Shocking. I listened to it and she didn't say Selena's name, but she talked about Justin's prior relationship and was adamant about there was no crossover. Like they didn't cheat. Their relationship didn't start until Selena and Justin were over. Like she just made it very clear. She still didn't say Selena's name. Like they've never really talked about each other until on Saturday, a picture was posted of the two of them together looking like best friends. They were cuddled up with each other, Tyrell Hampton.
Oh, that's great. I'm so happy.
It's so good.
This just shows me there can be peace in this world.
This is what I'm saying.
This just shows me that there's hope for everyone, that we can all join hands.
Yes.
And if they can get together and post a picture of them being nice to each other, then we can all do that. We should all join hands and post pictures being nice to each other.
That's right. So it was at the second annual Academy Museum Gala in Los Angeles. It was Saturday. And they look like they're best friends. This is huge for this generation of girls who, like, you were either Team Selena or you were Team Hailey. Like, there was no crossover. And so this was a really big moment. It was iconic in pop culture. And actually,
I was Team Han Solo.
You were Team Pan Solo. I posted this on our Brand New Information Instagram account when it happened. I shared it immediately.
Please follow.
Yeah, please follow. And Lee.
Oh, so now I understand why you shared that, because you shared this picture and I was like, I don't get it.
Okay. So, well, your co-star, of First Ascent, Lee, did get it, which makes me really understand that he appreciates pop culture. And he replied to the post and he said, wait, what? And so he was very excited about this duo coming together. So he understands. It's huge.
Is this real or is this just some sort of fake thing?
I don't think it matters. I mean, are they going to be best friends and like hang out together? No. But I think that the message that they sent is real. It's saying like, we're good. There's no need to hate. There is no hate. There is no, I'm attacking her. It looks real. And I think that's all that matters. I love it. It would be like if Jen and Angelina had posed together, like cuddled up with each other while Angelina was still with Brad, which that just would never have happened. And this, I love it.
Too bad.
Yeah. So that's just a feel good pop culture story.
Keep us updated on this developing story.
I will.
I'm so happy for a feel good story because I feel like so many of our stories are feel bad
stories.
They
really are. Or like feel neutral. Like who the hell cares?
Like stuffed crust pizza.
And Pan Solo.
This is better than coffins falling out of a building
in Naples, Florida.
Italy. Oh.
Okay, well, good job. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Make sure to follow us at brandnewinformationpod.com.
No. Just on Instagram and on Twitter. But Jay forgot we had a Twitter, so
I was in charge of the
Jay's
Twitter.
Jay's been
but then
in
I
charge
forgot.
Of the Twitter, and I asked him how it's going, and he said, "Wait, I forgot we had a Twitter." Oh my God! Okay, love Moo.
Love Moo. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Brand New Information. If you liked what you heard, you can like, subscribe, share, print out copies to give to your family. If you don't like it, just try us again next week because we're trying to get better. We're always trying to get better.
Okay, but also rate it 5 stars.
Is 5 stars the max?
I don't know. Okay, rate it 6 stars.
6 stars.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter at brandnewinfopod.twitter.com.
Oh, good job. And on Instagram at brandnewinformationpod.
Thanks a lot. See you next week.